Welcome, welcome to She Talks, a Soul Healing Essentials podcast. I'm your host, Ali, the Spiritual Architect. Today, we're going to be talking about awakening to one's true self. And I have with me the very magical Minnie joining us today. Minnie, thank you so much for joining me for this and for talking about such a beautiful subject. Do you want to tell everybody about yourself? And let's dive into this.
Hi, Ali. It's so amazing to be here. Greetings, everyone. It's such an honor to be here sharing space with you, Ali.
Oh my gosh, the honor is so mine, believe me.
I love the wisdom that flows through you, and I'm really excited and grateful for today, sister. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, I'll give a brief background about myself. I am a quantum alchemist healer, a seer, a channel to the divine Ra. I'm certified in Aura Past Life Regressions, Ra Reiki, Quantum Akashic Readings, as well as Usui Reiki and Transpersonal Crystal Healing. And I just recently also certified in Vedic Astrology because of my love for astrology, which just came up. And you can find me on my website, angelicalchemyholistichealing.com. And I also have a YouTube channel by the same name. So thank you everyone for being here.
Oh my gosh, this is such an honor. And for anyone that's listened to my episode, I believe it was two episodes ago where I spoke with Lisa, and we talked about the importance of, as healers, having your healer, you know, like I think she called it a preferred healer, and Minnie is mine. So I'm just so excited that you're doing this with me. So just before we get into the subject, Vedic astrology, that's amazing.
Yes, yes, yes. So
you said that was a passion?
Well, it just suddenly came up, you know, and that's what I'm going to talk about today. How, when you delayer and you go through the program of self-healing and discovering yourself, and, you know, the downloads just come to you, and, you know, you're wondering what's going on. And it was a message that I got from my guides, and suddenly came as a sense of knowing. Uh-huh. And they started prompting me to read Dolores' book with Nostradamus. And somehow I kept sensing and feeling Nostradamus come up. Yeah. And so I ordered all the three books and I read it. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to learn astrology. And they were like, there you go. It's just a remembrance. You need to remember it because, you know, I love looking up in the sky and, you know, looking at the planets. And I've always been familiar with it because it is somewhat, you know, coming down in the family line as well. Okay. But always ran away from it for some reason. And after discovering myself somehow, you know, I came around to it somehow. I wanted to understand the impact of, you know, the planetary system, the sun and the moon that we work with so much, especially in the healing world, you know, how it can impact our living, our sense of being. And most importantly, what I wanted to, you know, see for myself was, you know, how you go into astrology sessions and they tell you that, you know, about destiny, about what your life is going to be like.
Yeah.
But I want to actually approach it from a different approach of trying to see how you can change that. And because we are all creative beings. So despite having, you know, for example, if someone has malefic planet combinations, what can they do to turn that around despite that and make their life the beauty that it is meant to be? So that's the perspective that I had in mind when I took this on. So I'm really excited about it.
Well, and you mentioned the Nostradamus material by Dolores. Those books are heavy. That, I mean, there's a lot of info in there. And he does refer to astrology so much. And I actually found it almost amusing the way he gets upset with her when she doesn't know the constellations and she doesn't know where things are in the sky. And he's just, you know, and so it's actually quite lovely because I feel like when I read those books, I definitely felt tempted and I looked into astrology a little bit more too, because yeah, you know, it used to be that it was kind of commonplace to understand the stars and mm-hmm. we've just completely moved away from that. So
exactly.
That's beautiful that you're looking into that.
Yes, yes. And it was really beautiful. And then Archangel Metatron came through and, you know, he said that that's exactly what the message was. Uh-huh. It's the kind of remembrance you need to bring into yourself, whether you practice them in terms of, you know, taking sessions or you just incorporate it into your own sense of knowledge, wisdom, knowing, and you're able to use it, you know. Basically, I want to be able to see what's going on with the collective and, you know, what we can do, because as healers, we do a lot of collective healing as well. So it's nice to know what the planetary combinations are that are coming up for the collective and where we can play our part. So that was the main reason as well.
Gosh. Every time you and I have a conversation, I have so many things that are triggered within me. I love it. You bring up a good point. When someone's got that intuitive knowing of what they should be looking into or what they should be doing next, and we all get them and sometimes we ignore them, right? But when we follow them, it's not, I mean, in this case, it's not like now you're going to become an astrologer, you know?
Yes.
It's just that you're now going to have different tools that are going to trigger different things. And especially in the line of work of regression,
yes.
If you don't have it in your memory bank or somehow you're knowing and the client doesn't have it in their knowing, the material has no way to come up.
Yes.
So if you have this knowledge, then you've essentially opened up a whole new vocabulary, haven't you?
I love that. I love that, Ali, because that's another point there. Yes, absolutely. And he talks about that as well, because I think one of the clients was moving and he needed someone that knew astrology, or I think Dolores was looking for someone that knew astrology so that he could say those words, because they can only use the words that are in your own vocabulary, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That was a very important point as well. Yes. And yes, I'm totally inspired. I actually have the book in front of me right now. I'm just looking at him. He's just so beautiful. So yes, he's an inspiration, and I got a lot of messages that were coming, streaming in from him and through Archangel Metatron, who was bringing them forth as well.
So how would you say to someone who maybe is listening and is like, what? How would you say to someone of guiding them to start listening to that internal voice? You know, like you said, awakening to that true self, which is the delayering, decluttering of the fluff, of the stuff we put on ourselves.
Yes. Well, I've been on a journey of my own, you know, growing up, I always felt that I wasn't good enough. I had self-worth issues. My throat chakra was severely blocked. I would never, ever express myself in, you know, group settings. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. So, and, you know, I've gone through a process of self-healing through that. And basically whatever I'm talking about today is something that I have done and worked on myself. And I'm able to share it from a personal point of view, as well as, you know, I think I'm reaching close to 700 clients now, as well as the perspective of the healings that the clients have also gone through. And then I've been on those journeys with them as well, learning from them. So what I wanted to talk about today is awakening to one's true self, and then eventually leading to stepping into your wholeness and coming to wholeness with your higher self and your oversoul. And what does it mean to awaken to one's true self? Now, I understand this in, there are many layers to this, many, many layers, but the two main layers that I wanted to talk about today are, number one, coming into awareness, a sense of knowing, a remembrance of your true self. And the number two would be stepping into, once you know, once you remember it, stepping into your wholeness and you activating that true self embodiment. And that takes me back to, you know, all mostly light workers, because they're the ones that we interact with so much now that we are doing this work. But overall in my life, I've come across so many beautiful souls, you know, we've been in situations where we're always trying to fit in. We've always been the misfit in the environment that we've been in, you know, trying to fit in with school friends. They're different from you. Trying to fit in with the colleagues at work. Somehow they're different. You're the odd man out or the odd person out. Family and, you know, many such circumstances where you feel that you're the only odd person who is, I'm saying odd because from their point of view, you're odd. You know, people say that kind of thing. This person is socially awkward. You know, because the person is like, oh, wondering, okay, I see you guys here in the physical, but I see your energy and then I can see the angels and I'm doing a lot more in this, you know, environment right now than just having this conversation. So
that's where you want to stifle yourself almost, you know, so sometimes if, and the thing is, I don't want to say kids are cruel, but kids can be cruel. So if you're of a certain age and you're getting picked on because you are a little bit different, or you're noticing someone get picked on because they're a little bit different, what you start doing is stifling yourself so that you are then not the attraction of the picking, you know, so that you're never that the target of that.
Exactly.
So I'm so glad that you're mentioning that, because especially when it comes to blocking oneself, the throat chakra is usually the most prominent one, wouldn't you say? I mean, right now it feels like everybody's talking about their thyroid.
Absolutely. And it's the number one thing. I think almost all clients bring up throat chakra issues, and it basically is stemming mostly from this, you know, in doing so, in stifling yourself. Like, how many times have we been unable to express our true nature, our feelings, our emotions, and our perspective to things in fear of being judged or rejected by the group as it was different from all others, right?
Yeah.
And anytime we step away from sharing our true attributes, our likes, our true feelings, just to please someone, just to fit in, just to belong, you know, to be appreciated, we're stepping away from being our true self, our authentic state of being.
Yeah.
And I have a beautiful channel message today that came in. I was talking to, you know, my guides, and I was asking them, how would you express this? You know, why is it important to be your true self? You know, so this is the message that flowed through today. And they said, we forget that we are all unique with our own soul's blueprints. And within this uniqueness lays the magic of our essence, of what we bring to the collective of souls within our universe, which then weaves into the sacred fabric of the wholeness of our creation, our divine universe's organic blueprint. Therefore, embracing this uniqueness helps in maintaining the true colors and frequency of the thread that we are within this tapestry. And I think this really brought home a point to me, because I've struggled with this all my life.
Yeah. Well, it's also, I mean, from a very dummied down perspective, it's almost that going back to that idea of you're taking gems out of your crown so that you, but the thing is I sometimes feel like it's not necessarily like you're dumbing yourself down, you're stifling yourself, but sometimes you're doing it in order to avoid certain conversations, avoid certain interactions, so that you don't have to maybe go through the process of explaining yourself when you feel that someone wouldn't understand it.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? So I feel like sometimes that's what happens. And that is the, again, in, you know, in very simple terms, you're taking the diamonds out of your crown so that no one can see how much you're shining. Yes. I think a lot of people can relate to that on many different levels, right? Whatever the situation that you find yourself in, if you find yourself that you have to stifle a certain aspect of you, it does take a certain sense of bravery to either step into that role and, you know, despite or in spite of what might then happen, and also a certain sense of bravery to step away from situations that you know probably won't be a match anymore if you stop stifling.
I love that. I love that you're sharing that. That's exactly what I wanted to talk about today.
Yeah.
And in the process, what happens, Ali, and you know, you would have had so many sessions, you know, you're a healer, such an amazing healer yourself. And you know, what are the issues that people bring forth in the healing? You know, how many clients do we get that say they have thyroid issues, they have sore throats, they have, arthritis, they have stomach
digestion
issue is like number one, along with the thyroid, I think, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Also, what's coming up is cloudiness, fogginess. So where is this coming from? This is basically because of us stifling ourselves, you know, just looking into the physical manifestations of, you know, this blockage. And it can, go ahead, Ali, you want to say something?
No, I was actually clearing my throat, but I did want to just, while there's a pause. Yeah, it was just over the weekend that I had a session with someone, and they, when I it was a raw session. So it was, you know, Reiki energy for someone who doesn't know what raw is. So it was essentially Reiki energy. And what I saw, that her throat chakra was blocked to such a degree that I actually saw this extremely large golden being standing on her throat. And I thought, well, this is dramatic. Like, why are you doing that? And it was actually, this being said, well, I'm actually Metatron. And,
I love that.
You know, and he said, this, I'm showing you how severely she is blocking herself. So I'm glad that you mentioned that, you know, so we do, I think, more and more hear about infiltration and attachments and, you know, things getting into your space and blocking you. But I don't know if there's enough emphasis on half of this we're doing literally to ourselves. Like I have clients that have come in with blankets over their third eye. And in some cases it was placed there by an, you know, an energy outside of ourselves. But in a lot of times it was them that placed it there. And again, it's that whole idea of stifling the self. That's, continue. That's what I had to add.
No, that's a very, very important point that you're making there, because that happens in the sessions too. And, you know, that's the first thing you hear. You know, she blocked herself because of her past life. She blocked herself because she was shut down as a child when she tried to speak. You know, the adults did not allow her to express herself. And, you know, when she was working, she had, you know, managers who wouldn't let her speak or colleagues that made fun of her point, you know, whatever she was saying. So yes, this happens to us. And then, you know, we just shut ourselves down. You know, it's better to be just quiet and not be noticed and just float, you know, and that's what most people have done. And so blockages, it results in an imbalance of, you know, the mind, body, soul complex. And so physical manifestations, as well as blocking your mind, blocking your energetic body, different layers of our bodies, there are blockages everywhere, you know, throat chakra, number one. It controls and or is very reflective of our communication skills and being our true self. So it would reflect in thyroid imbalances, sore throats, sometimes the arms and the hands as well. And then because you're not expressing yourself, you're not being your true authentic self. I love
you
that.
You said express and my dog, it's like he knew, but he can't hear you.
He's like, I do express myself.
He expresses himself a lot. Yeah.
He's so beautiful. And then, you know, check in with the solar plexus, because the solar plexus, the stomach area is, you know, it stands for and it controls our willpower, our motivation, our potential, self-worth issues. And that translates into stomach issues, right? And then depending on what the root cause of the throat chakra imbalance, are you not expressing yourself and being your authentic self? What the main reason is, those are the chakras that are going to be blocked. And therefore, you need to go into a journey of, you know, self-healing and finding it out for yourself. And I think we can talk a little bit about that if you want to add anything, Annie.
The only thing I really had to add to that is anyone who's, anyone listening who doesn't quite know about the chakra system or what exactly each chakra does or is related to, I've actually done an episode. If you go back into previous episodes, I've done an episode on every single one of them. So the only thing that I had to add in addition to, please go listen to those episodes, because I do mention signs of what it feels like to recognize that something is blocked, what that might mean. But just the reality is that it could be more than one. One triggers the next. And usually if you don't deal with the very subtle sign of the first one, perhaps the next one is a little bit more serious. Like in my case, when I was blocking my throat and blocking, you know, what, how I wanted to express myself verbally, or I'm sure that it was related to other issues, but I had a, you know, pretty bad thyroid issue. And it was when I started speaking up in an authentic way. Now, I, as I mentioned in my throat chakra podcast, it isn't about speaking for the sake of speaking and who cares who you hurt with your words. It's about being very mindful with your speech, you know, mindful with how you say things so that you express yourself, but still go through that, that checklist of, do I need to say it? Does, is it kind to say it? You know, is it necessary to say it? That sort of thing. But stop blocking yourself. There's always ways to express what you need to express without blocking yourself, but also be kind.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love the be kind part, because, you know, words matter and they come out of your mouth and they're done and we can apologize later, but it's already created a dent in someone's energy field and that person will have to go through self-healing and so will you. So yes, I love that you're talking about that. And so now stepping into, you know, how do we step into being our true authentic self and how do we self-heal from this? Now, these are some of the things that I've done myself, and I've also seen some clients doing it. I'm sure, Ali, you'll share your version as well. For me, my awakening actually started with meditating. When I learned to meditate, and I really didn't learn to meditate, I just closed my eyes. No one taught me. I didn't know that a spiritual world existed and that I could learn stuff. I was very, very naive when I was waking up in 2017, and all I knew was, I think I should just sit on the floor, maybe light a candle, and I'm going to just chant Om, because, you know, I grew up listening to that chant. And I said, and I'll just breathe. And so that's what I did. So it was again a sense of knowing. So meditating, going within, you know, with your breaths into your heart and quieting down your mind space, you know, that chatter in your mind, and just breathing. Meditation is just breathing. It's as simple as that. Most people say, you know, I can't meditate somehow. I don't know how to do it. It's basically
isn't that true? Yeah.
Yes.
I hear that so often. But you know what? It's interesting that you started with Om, because that is so powerful.
Yes, that it is. It used to vibrate my whole body, and it still does. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's that silence. It's that moment that between that inhale and the chanting again, that's where the profound moments happen too.
I love that. I just went into that right now. So beautiful. Yes. And the fun part was, when I was doing it initially, I did not have any intentions, because I didn't know what's out there, you know? Uh-huh. I didn't know there's an ocean to discover, or there is something called a third eye that gets activated. I had no clue about all this stuff. I was just waking up, you know? So I went in, and I highly, highly recommend going in without any intentions, and with the simple intention of just connecting with your own soul. That's all that you do, you know, and leave everything out, because everything is going to flow very naturally and organically for what you need to connect with, what you need guidance for. So sometimes, even without the intention of trying to see something or know something, just be with the intention to be still, to go into that stillness.
Yeah.
And as we go within, our vibrational frequency increases, as our mind, body, and soul are magical, and they have the ability to self-attune to our soul.
Yeah.
And the new heightened frequencies will bring up healing needs, things you need to let go of. There's going to be a sense of knowing that's going to come on its own, emotions that will come up for healing. You know, you'll find yourself crying in your meditation for no rhyme or reason. And you'll be like, oh, I don't have any hurt feelings. Why am I crying? Because you just touched a chord with source, and you felt that love for yourself for the first time. You felt that unconditional love.
I love that you're saying that. First of all, I love that you're, again, every time I have a conversation with a fellow healer, I'm always just absolutely blown away at how we all started, and just the difference. Like you saying, you sat down and you went, what's meditation? Well, I'll light a candle and I'll Om, which is so beautiful and so just, I don't even know the words to use. Cause when Lisa and I talked about this, I had told her that I used Google, like I Googled, what is the third eye? You know?
Oh,
and
yeah,
you had cause I was like, you have this knowing of, I'm going to sit and I'm going to Om. So it is beautiful that we kind of go, well, this is what I think it is. And so I'm going to just start there. Cause we do tend to overcomplicate things.
Yes.
Sometimes.
That's true.
And so just kind of going with what you think it is, just start there. Just breathe.
Yes.
I love that you said that. I already forget what else I was going to say. But
I love that you mentioned Google, because guess what? Google came next, because when I went in and I started crying, and I could see this magenta pink energy. And I remember once just putting my hands on Earth and saying, I send you love, Mother Earth. And then I just burst out crying. And I didn't know why I was crying. I was like, I just sent her love. Why am I crying? And then I could see all these colors. And so then I went on Google and said, what does it mean when you cry in your meditation and you see colors?
What does it say?
So the people started explaining different colors, but it's, you know, I just had to wait to understand for myself. So basically I connected with Divine Mother. Uh-huh. I connected with the Divine Mother essence. And as I sent her that energy and that love, she sent me love back. And for the first time in my life, I've been loved all my life, you know, but for the first time in my life, I felt this unconditional love, which I've never felt, which was not earthly at all. And it just came from beyond the veil. It came from under earth. Yes, I could feel it from coming down from earth up into me. And I could also feel it coming up from the sky into me and just swirling around me. And I think I was there for at least 30 minutes sobbing.
That's beautiful. Wow.
That was my awakening journey. And that's what you do. So I had no intentions of opening up my third eye or seeing anything. And I was just going with the flow. And anyone that's listening in that is new to this, and anyone else that has mastered this, you know, you'll have your own experience, but you will begin to activate your abilities to listen to your inner voice, to your higher self, and then also eventually your divine guides. And connecting with your heart is the first key, the stepping stone into doing that.
I totally agree with you. I love the way you said that too, because it's important that you specifically said everyone will have their own unique journey. But what you'll notice is over time, once you share your journey with others, there's so many commonalities between it. So in my case, it wasn't when I touched my hands to the earth, and I've had a similar experience, and it was years later that I was literally just touching the ground, and I was just rocking, and I was just crying, and, you know, asking Mother Earth to forgive all the trespasses. And, you know, so there was it just feels like such a similar story. But my first time was with, which I think I discussed with Lisa as well, was when I started meditating of what is the dragon energy. And that's when I burst into tears. And I think that's important that you mention that, it's because it is this heart chakra activation and this knowing and this love that you feel that is totally different than anything you've ever experienced.
I love that.
And I feel like everybody's got, again, their own unique perspective, their own unique experience, but it's interesting to find the commonalities between these waking moments.
I love that. I love listening to everyone's perspective and how they awoke and what their journey has been, because that itself is a teacher, you know?
Yeah.
I feel that we're all teachers. We're all teachers and we're all students. And at all times, and I always say this, like till the last breath here on earth, we'll always be learning. We'll
definitely
still be learning because there's just so much to learn.
So much to learn, yeah. Right? Just when I think I've learned something, I flip the page and there's a whole new encyclopedia.
Yes, exactly.
And it's like you're starting from page one. You're never finished. There's so much to explore.
I love that.
I guess that reminder again of your guides, your inner voice, your inner knowing can speak to you in the terminologies, the images, the sounds, just anything that's already in your mind somehow.
Yes.
So the more you open yourself up to things, the more verbiage and imagery they have to work with.
I love that too
because then, you know, everybody then has an even bigger unique experience because they've got a totally different image bank in their mind than you do.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
Yes. I love that. I love that you're talking about imagery because that's how most of my guides also communicate with me is through imagery. So when I go into meditation, within the meditation, you know, you can go into a theta brainwave or, you know, I actually go into delta brainwave within the meditation. So when I wake up from my meditations, it's like I've seen a dream. So it's as detailed as that. And I have to then remember what was in the dream, and there's imagery. And then you need to put that together as a piece of a puzzle and try to understand that. And that's the fun part of it.
Definitely. Definitely. And the important part too is write that stuff down, man. Write it down.
Yes.
I use a little voice note recorder because sometimes I get even words that I've never heard of before that could be in other languages. I get these words. And if I don't somehow note it, it fades like a dream would.
Yes.
You know, and there's information that's just slipped through your fingers.
Yes. I love it. You know, because you might have read a book like 20 years back and you read a word then that you know, somewhat know the meaning of, but you don't know what the dictionary meaning for it is. And they use that word and you're like, yeah, I read it somewhere, but I don't know the exact, you know, definition, though I understand what it means. And then you come up and you Google it. What does it mean? And you're like, oh, it makes sense in the sentence that they said.
Yeah.
Makes total sense. I love that. I love how connected we are, you know, as far as all these beautiful experiences. Thank you, Ali, for sharing all the beautiful beauties, you know, that you've
experienced. Thank you. It's funny that you mentioned it because at the beginning of, I think it was at the end of 2019, right? We all know what that's the beginning of. I believe it might've even just been a Reiki session. I was receiving Reiki and I had words pop into my head, and it was literally I mean, I thought it was ancient Hebrew because you could literally, I could literally Google it and I understood the meaning. And then when you and I did our session together, you said that it was an, you got that it was an ancient earth language. But the words then were go forth and trust, sort of like whatever's coming, we got your back. And then it was interesting because I went, oh, that's really nice. Not knowing the years ahead, you know, what was actually coming, but,
exactly. Yes.
So yes, it just needs to be in your memory bank in some form or fashion.
Yes, I love that. I love
whatever it might be.
But keep reading good books. All right. So I want to talk a little bit about self-healing now that you've started meditating, okay. And you know, as you do that, things will start coming up. You'll start to feel, you know, things coming up for healing on your own because your higher self will bring it to your notice. You know, things that you've forgotten will start coming back in terms of dreams, meditations, or triggers. You know, something will trigger you and you'll be like, oh, something happened in my childhood and now I'm feeling it right now for some reason. So looking into the avenues, you know, for ways to heal, to self-heal yourself. And there are many modalities out there and past life regressions are a beautiful way of doing it. We do aura past life regressions, which are basically an entity removing modality. It is an entity removing modality. Very, very profound, very deep self-healing journey that you do where you go into a past life regression. The archangels are there holding space. There's a lot of sacred alchemy. So you're very safe because the quantum realm needs to be safe. And you should be able to go into self-healing for yourself. So they're very, very detailed. And you can find out then what the root causes are for your blockages. Or you could, you know, if you're not ready for that, you can go in for a Ra Reiki, which Ali just mentioned right now, which is a shorter version of it where the practitioner will do the session for you and then bring in guided messages. And then while they're actually doing it, you realize that you yourself are activating yourself because mm-hmm. there's going to be so much removal of entities, AI, and anything that's blocking you, cloudiness, fogginess, you know, deprogramming you. Helping you deprogram through the higher self. And there you go. You'll start to remember things. And, you know, people use things like, you know, they use crystals, they use organic herbs. So there are different ways that you can do it. You can get an Akashic reading to find out who you are, you know, just to get a gist of it. And because in doing all of this, in you're not really giving away your power. You're just taking that initial help to, you know, get that support to just get a little bit of the foundation. But all of the work that you'll be doing during the healing as well as post-healing is all you. It's all you. The practitioner holds space and you're the one that's going in and healing it. So it's very, very empowering and you only heal what, you know, you're ready to heal. And that's how you
grow. Isn't that the truth? Yes. I have had sessions where whilst in the session, the client literally says she's not ready or he's not ready to let go of that.
Yes.
And then there's nothing you can do. And I love that you're mentioning all these modalities too, because there is a certain sense of, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that. And people have this ideas of what it's like, but there's something very profound about getting certain information from within, having someone else verbalize it in the sense of a raw session, for example. So if you, during the session, while the practitioner is working with you, you get any messages and then the practitioner confirms them. I mean, you know, that's just mind blowing right there. Right. Yes. But then in the aura session, you get to step into that world and experience it from whichever sensory input you end up getting. Some people see, some people feel, you know. Usually, for me and most people, they end up seeing an entire world essentially that they get to experience. And while you're in the session, you are not always convinced anything's happening. But once the session finishes, you definitely get that confirmation of, wow, that was something really profound that I just experienced and I've never felt anything like it. And then you'll notice little things confirming in your life. So there's that little difference that I just wanted to point out too. And it's, you know, when you say it in your own words that you're supposed to be doing something and it's in your own voice, you can't really argue with you, you know?
Exactly.
That's what I find so powerful about this.
Yes. I love that you're saying that. I had a client recently who went into a lifetime and saw herself as Charles Dickens, the author.
And really?
For me, it was like, oh my God, I want an autograph. I'm just kidding. Because, you know, I went to university to study English language and literature. So I got to read all these 16th, 17th, 18th century authors and writers. Uh-huh. So it was really beautiful for me to experience that in his lifetime. And when she started waking up, she was like, oh my gosh, how is this possible? I was like, no, you didn't make this up, because it was very, very detailed. And of course, she was crying and she had her emotions. But, you know, later on, the client wrote to me a couple of times that week about the confirmations that she got. And even I think a day or two before she went in, somehow Charles Dickens pulled up on Wikipedia for her for some strange reason, she thought. And and then I think a day or two later, I was watching a movie on Netflix, and there's a scene where the teacher in the classroom tells the kids, oh, let's, you know, look at Charles Dickens and his book. And I was like,
oh, okay, my gosh,
that was definitely him. And a lot about Charles Dickens came up. I think it also came up on Facebook in one of the posts that I read. And I was like, I sent it to my client. I was like, you didn't make this up. I'm getting the downloads too.
That's crazy. Did you ever, if you can share this, obviously, did you ever figure out why that came through? Is that the life that she had experienced, or?
Yes. Yes. The wow. Starting of the life of, you know, his life was very tough as a uh-huh. child, and he had to work in coal mines as a child, uh-huh. as a child labor. So that was really hard to watch. And then how you went into his writings, and it was really beautiful. Yeah.
Wow.
I think she'd be willing to share it as well. So I might be posting that. So that's a beautiful session. It was really beautiful to watch his lifetime, because I think Charles used to write about children.
Yeah.
Children working, yeah. right? I think that's what yeah. his work was about. And my client is very, very connected to children and children's causes. And mm-hmm. so there was a lot of parallel. Actually, there's a lot of parallel in her current life to what he went through.
Wow.
So she saw how sometimes it just repeats itself. And it was really beautiful. And I think that when the two of us met, it was like a spark, you know?
Yeah.
It was just like two souls just recognizing each other suddenly. And it was really beautiful. There's a deep, deep connection there. So that was really beautiful, because you get proofs for your healing. You get, you know, synchronized messages that come across, because, you know, the guides and the angels understand that we are on earth, and sometimes it's difficult for us to trust ourselves. Because you know, we've made mistakes, we've been betrayed. So, our powers, you know, have been misused, or people have been killed for their powers, right? Yeah. That's what they did with the so-called healers. They burnt them, calling them witches. So many of my sister colleagues, friends, you know, that I meet have, and, you know, I myself have had lifetimes where they did something to the throat. They slit it, or they burnt you on the stake. And now people are self-healing. They're finding out why throughout their life they wanted to keep their gifts hidden, because they're still carrying the traumas from that lifetime. And now everyone's waking up to that, to, you know, healing themselves. And that's what these sessions do. They help you to self-heal. They empower you to self-heal yourself. And then as you're doing that, also connecting with Mother Nature is just so essential, because it's powerfully activating. It's a healing modality in itself, you know, going to the ocean or the lake and the mountains, and just connecting with Mother Earth, connecting with the trees, giving them love. And she heals all. So start healing yourself, and as you start doing that, you find the root cause and the reasons for your blockages, and why you're not being able to express yourself, why you're so afraid of showing I won't say showing your true self, because it's not like calculative and a manipulative move, but you're just afraid of being your authentic self and sharing your perspective, because sometimes you just feel it's not worth it, because there are self-worth issues, right? So you can go in and start healing all of that. And and that's what this is all about. These are all layers. These are all steps that you can take and go through it. What are some of the typical reasons that someone would not be able to be their true self, from the experiences that I've had personally and the clients? You know, number one is programming. So it could be societal and religious programming. You're expected to behave in a certain manner, which is very typical to society, and be acceptable in everyone's books, right?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, definitely.
We've all had that. And then traumas. Number two is traumas. When you try to share your true feelings, your perspective, but you were put down by others, you know, could start from your home, could start at school, you know, friends that have bullied you, or could be at work with colleagues doing that as well. And I see that a lot in adults as well. I've had clients who've been bullied at work, like I'm talking about full-grown adults, bullying someone, blaming them for things that they didn't do, and they're healing it. They're working through healing that. And then number three, a very important point is self-worth issues, lack of self-love, lack of self-respect, not believing in oneself, and always looking for an external validation. And I've done it, I've gone
Oh,
through
I
that
think
path,
we've all done it. Yeah.
right? And it's okay. Sometimes you do need to, ask a friend, what do you think about this? And that's absolutely fine. But never ever believing any of the downloads that you're getting, or if someone tells you, no, your download is not correct, it may not be in their perspective, but then your experience is yours. You are the only one that knows yourself as well as you do. And so
Yeah,
it's time
yeah.
that we start believing in ourselves, in deprogramming and healing these traumas and blockages. And even after these healing sessions, there is deep self-work to be done, seeing what works for you. Everyone is going to have a different path. And again, I highly recommend connecting with elements, fire, water, elements of air, earth, spirit. Talk to them, ask them to embrace you, feel the energies go through you to heal you, as well as working with elemental beings, which are basically our beautiful unicorns, magical unicorns, griffins, dragons. We all have dragons around us, connecting with them, and they will remind you what a beautiful divine being that you are. They play a huge role in doing that as well, because they're actually waiting for you to wake up and remember them so that they can remind you more about themselves and your story together.
Yeah.
And of course, along the way, the Divine Mother, Divine Father, there have been my guides, archangels, ascended masters. They're all here in all their glory and divine love to aid every single soul, because we are all equally special to them, whether we are awake or unawake, whether we are in the best of timelines or we are struggling with something. It doesn't matter. This universe is all about equality, and they love all, and they don't judge anyone, because they've seen this, they've been through this. Buddha has lived here and he's been through it. And again, one of our very beautiful guides, he went from being a prince, a very guarded prince, who received everything, to trying to find questions to life, and then leaving everything, abandoning everything, and going into the forest to find answers to his questions, and then never coming back to the palace to live that life anymore, because he realized his purpose. So he
That
saw,
always blows my mind. That's
right?
but you, I mean, once you start doing this work, you understand why, you know?
You understand why?
Because we I don't think we realize how many layers of stifling. I just like that word now, stifling. How
Yes.
many layers of stifling? Because I feel like not only do we stifle ourselves and then others stifle us, but there is a certain layer of protection to that in the sense that it not in every circumstance, obviously, not at all in every circumstance. So, everybody needs to use discernment with what I'm about to say, but it sometimes feel like we get stifled or we even stifle another because we feel like we're doing it for their protection. Like we almost feel like they're going to be in danger as a result of their actions or what they're going to say and whatever. And that is the programming too, because if we have any of this, cell memory of what's perhaps happened in the past, like you said, they burned witches. Well, they weren't really witches, they were healers,
Correct.
right? So if that cell memory resides within all of us, then even as a collective, we would be stifling to make sure that someone doesn't get too bright and therefore can call attention upon themselves, which I've never really
Yes.
even thought of it from that perspective of it being almost like I said, a sense of protection for that person, but now as a group. But really, it reminds me of, gosh, I don't remember which animals they did this. It might have been monkeys where they taught them not to go up the ladder. Don't go up the ladder because there's danger up there. Don't go up the ladder. But generations go on and no one goes up this ladder
Yes.
because there might be danger there. And it no one goes up there. No one goes up there. It's too dangerous until somebody finally goes, well, but well, let's just go have a look,
Yes.
and then it turns out there's nothing there anymore.
Yes.
But I feel like we still live with that cell memory of don't shine too bright. It's dangerous. And we stifle ourselves and each other in order to not
Yes.
allow that to happen. I found that so interesting. And then just when you mention the word dragons, for anyone listening who this topic might be a little bit new to or a little bit too far out there, I encourage you if what I do with pets and animals when I perform Reiki, which Minnie, I know that you do as well, is I see them in who they show up as. So in my case, I create a Reiki room and I invite the animal in, and however the animal shows up is how I perform Reiki on them. And my little 6-pound puppy shows up as this giant black dragon with these humongous wings, who then shows me his, you know, boo-boo, essentially, like you would to a mommy, you know. He's like, my wing hurts, you know. And that's, I give him Reiki, and I notice that my actual dog in this physical reality then gets up and runs off when he feels better. So you know, if magical creatures is a little bit out there, I encourage everybody to close your eyes, connect with your animal, and see what that animal actually shows up as for you. It might not be at all what you think.
Yes.
I just wanted to add that.
I love that. I've actually seen it in Dreamtime. I've seen cats and dogs turn into big dragons. You know, so there's a mm-hmm. little cat walking, and then next to that is the actual higher self of the cat. It's a huge dragon.
They're always giant. Whoa, yeah.
That is big.
Well, you even noticed that when you were doing the session on me, you saw Thor as this giant black dragon. And that for me was confirmation, because I went, oh my gosh, that's how I see him, you know. Exactly. And I've never shared that with anyone. And then you said it too. So
yes, yes.
I love that.
And the beauty of it is, you know, they're huge, gigantic, and that's how grand their heart is as well. That's how much love they can accommodate in them as well. They are divine love.
They are here too. I actually had a session recently, which I still haven't edited, so I will put it up on my YouTube page. But where the client who came through first wasn't the client's higher self. It was her pet.
Wow.
And her pet came through and explained that pets are literally a piece of us. We think of it as something that has an affinity towards us, but she explained it as, no, it's as if you literally took off a chunk of your hip bone and created another being.
Yes.
Which I think explains why sometimes they feel like they truly are part of us. They really are.
They are. Because we have dragon versions of ourselves as well. And we carry those traits in us. That's so beautiful. I love that. I love animal healings and Ra's. There's so much we learn about their kingdom and what they stand for.
Oh gosh,
for.
Yeah.
Yes. That's another piece altogether. Talk about elemental beings in one of the episodes. So beautiful. And then you start to heal and then start letting go of what no longer serves your higher purpose. You express your sovereignty. You can say positive affirmations. I did that a lot when I was waking up. You
Me
know?
Too. Me
like,
too.
Right, I had to say it. I love yourself. I believe in myself. You mm-hmm. know, I respect myself. Don't give away your power anymore. Start believing in yourself. And why not? Why would you not believe in yourself? Who knows you better than you?
Right. Well, that's exactly right. And it's that stepping into yourself, which again, I cannot reiterate this enough. It takes bravery. It truly does. But that idea of stepping into who you truly are, that idea of sovereignty, right?
Yes.
Again, when I first did that session with you, that was the very first time that I felt like I was just kind of sitting on what felt like a throne, because I felt like I could just be. And it's not because any past healer was unkind. It's not because they didn't hold space, but there was just something about the way you held my space that I finally felt, oh, I could be here, you know, and I can spread out, you know what I mean? So there is something really beautiful about stepping into yourself, discovering that, you know, that trueness of self, stepping into your sovereignty. What you'll notice is then you will attract others who allow you to do so.
I love that. I love that, because I was going to come to that as well. You're making me cry, Ali, by the way.
Oh, stop it.
Well, thank you. You're beautiful. And it is such an honor to work with you. Yes, I love that you're coming towards delayering as well. Starting to say no, where no mm-hmm. is the correct answer. You take your power back and you be mm-hmm. sovereign and free. And there is nothing tastes as good as freedom does. It is beautiful. When you start believing in yourself, you just feel it. And then others see that in you as well. You know, I've had clients tell me, we've never seen you so sovereign. You know, you've done something. We can see it in you. And source love is flowing through, you know, it's just confirmations that come through other people because they can tap into that energy if they're in that state of love for you. So yes, and then delayering, you know, as you delayer from self-healing and layers of all of this baggage comes off and you remove it, your true authentic self will start emerging and your higher self will start to integrate with you and activate more within you. Now that the scope for expansion is much more because you've just emptied out all this space for the higher self to come in. And then you start to connect with your higher self and you start to find your higher purpose, your true calling, you know, which is a very simple answer. What brings you joy? What makes your soul dance? And for me, it was very simple. I enjoyed activating people's hearts and healings. And that's why I'm doing this, because I just answered one question for myself. What would I do for a living, even if I wasn't paid for it all my life? Mm-hmm. Yep. And I said, healing. That's it. That's my calling. And I love waking up every single day to this. If I don't have sessions, then I have, you know, the healing for collectives or something else. And I just work with my divine team and they tell me where we need to go and focus our attention on. And it's beautiful because sometimes there are just different groups doing different types of healings. And then you'll hear from another group saying they were working on something and you've worked on the exact same place. So you know that this is actually happening for the collective. This is work in service to others, which is happening with not just you, but there are many others that are doing it. But eventually you'll start seeing confirmations for yourself without even looking for it.
Because, well, and it's also important, the way you mentioned it, of if you weren't paid for it, what would you be doing? I feel that it's worth saying sometimes when you do start to follow that joy and start following what you want to truly be doing with your time, you aren't paid for it in the beginning, So there is that stepping into it and just having the faith that the support will come. You will be provided for, you know, I think that's worth mentioning. And also the idea of the, you know, you attract others that allow you to sit in your space. But what you'll notice is you then become able to allow others to step into their true self, into their sovereignty. You know, it's that co-stifling that I was mentioning earlier. Yes. I just kind of noticed that you make it okay for others to be who they are as well. And that also takes time, because what you'll notice is that, or at least what I notice is that relationship dynamics change, and not always smoothly, but then they do step into something much greater.
Yes.
And I love that.
I love that. I love that. I love that you're talking about that. And it's all okay, because people make choices because they have their own visions and their own guides guiding them. But eventually everyone's walking their path towards the same goal. Just remembering to stay in your heart and then trusting yourself. Because when you step into your true self, you don't worry about anyone else's opinions, validations, because you've truly remembered who you are. And you don't owe an explanation to anyone, because you're being your true authentic self now, organic self, divinely beautiful, just as creation created you to be. And as you then expanded upon that with your own experiences and lessons learned. And here you are standing in that wholeness with your higher self, having come in, integrated. And then it's not just that, you know, there's puzzle piece by puzzle piece that'll keep getting added. Each time you do self-healing, you work on yourself and you vibrate higher, you start to see more higher selves, more, you know, gifts opening up, and you'll see more activities. And sometimes your role will change. Sometimes you'll be doing more healings. Sometimes you'll be doing more activations. Sometimes you'll just be asked to go out in the public and just hold space there, which is something I love doing.
Yeah, you just be.
You meet people. Well,
and so, you know, and you do your relationships with everybody, be it a stranger or anyone, it all changes. And I find it interesting that I feel like some people would fear that they, oh, well, if I didn't get paid for something, I wouldn't do anything. No, actually, you end up with so much freedom. You end up with a lot more energy. You end up actually doing so much more with your day.
Yes.
Than you would when you were doing something that you absolutely hated.
Exactly.
Because now you've got this joy, you're pleasant to be around, and you know, you end up actually just being busier.
I love that, because I left my 3D job, you know, years back to do this, to step into this when I had nothing in my hand. And I didn't have a job, I didn't have a website, I had nothing. I was just going to start right from scratch. And Yeshua, my faith, Yeshua said, time to take a giant leap of faith, and you can do this. I'm going to do this. And as your vibrational frequency shifts to being authentic, your true tribe, your soul family, just like Ali was saying, I love that you picked on that point as well, Ali, your soul family will start to find you and you will no longer feel the effort to fit in because you will be you and you will be your higher self. The more you self-heal and vibrate higher, closer to your creator self, the more your higher self will integrate as you create that space for them to come in. And we are able to not only help ourselves, but step into the divine role, the divine calling to assist those that need help and aren't able to do it, which is namely children, animals, birds. And then there are those that need additional support for healing. And, you know, that comes to sometimes, you know, people may not even be in a state to pay for a healing or may not be in a state to even sit there for the whole session, but somehow we just have to find a way of doing it. It doesn't matter, you know, and I don't count, you know, I don't count the free sessions that I do because, you know, Source has their way, they deserve it. And there's a reason. Be in gratitude for that opportunity that is coming to you. Be in gratitude that someone is teaching you to expand your heart so much that you're thinking beyond the matrix. You're thinking beyond money. You're thinking beyond currency. You're thinking about gratitude and love. And that state of being where you become so much in love with that being because that's your brother or sister from Source and you're willing to do anything for that from that being, that unconditional love state being that you've stepped into, that is unbeatable and it's unquestionable. So go ahead and do that. And that's when we are able to step into that service to other role that we talk about so much in our community, what most of us came here to do. And that's
really the only reason why more of us don't do it, I feel. Well, I shouldn't say the only reason, but it feels as if one of the main reasons we are so nervous to step into that role is because of abundance, you know, relationship with abundance. Am I truly going to be taken care of? Am I truly going to find a way to pay my bills and do all the, you know, all the stuff that we need to take care of? And that takes a leap of faith and it takes a great deal of courage, I think, you know, to trust, because that's when you start getting the confirmations of things. But it is not an easy journey to start off with. I love those memes where they show what I thought my enlightening process would be, and it's, you know, someone sitting on a lotus, and then what it actually is, and it's this disheveled, you know, half the hair is falling out, teeth are all over the place, and they're just crazy looking. That is a little bit what it's like a lot of the times.
It's messy, it's so messy,
and you cry out of the blue. There's just a lot of stuff that happens. Well, gosh, Minnie, thank you so much. This was so enlightening. I'm gonna have to listen to this one a few times because there were so many beautiful points made there. We are approaching the hour, so this pretty much wraps it up for this episode. Do you have anything to kind of end it with?
Yes, that I love you and I love all of creation. I love everyone that Source has created. Let's all be love and be who we are. Step into being yourself, unafraid, fearless, proud of yourself. Believe in yourself. I love you all. Thank you, Ali. I love you.
Thank you so much. I love you. And I can't wait for our next session, which I think is in about a week or so. So yay. I'm sure it'll be profound. So again, you can find Minnie at angelicalchemyholistichealing.com. I'll put all the information in the show notes. And I might even include a little bit of some reminders about the chakra system and what each chakra does. Also, don't forget, if you go to www.soulhealingessentials.com, and put in your email, you get a chakra journal outlining the chakras, which allow you an opportunity to meditate on them, take notes on how the meditations and your connections with your chakras evolve over time. So definitely go check that out. Thank you so much for joining our talk today. Until next time. Thank you, Minnie.
Thank you, Ali. I love you. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye.